The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Now, you'd have heard in the last hour here on the show the latest from Washington, D.C. A few stragglers lingering around the U.S. Capitol today, but those protests all but finished. My next guest has been a close observer of the states and politics there for many, many years, covering every twist and turn along the way. But has he ever seen anything quite like we saw last night? I'm sure, like me, many of you glued to your television sets. Well, the BBC World Affairs editor is John Simpson. John, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. It's good to talk to you. Were you shocked by what you saw last night?
Of course. I mean, you could only be shocked, couldn't you? The violence, the slogans that were scratched and painted on walls, murder the media, I saw, absolutely appalling. And one of the disturbing things was that I wasn't there, but I watched it like many of us did on television, the Black Lives Matter demonstration in Washington, D.C., when the steps of the Capitol building were absolutely packed with National Guardsmen. This time, although Donald Trump has been calling for a big demonstration on the 6th of January for weeks, there were scarcely any police to stop them. And also stories, a friend of mine who was there tells me that the police and some of the police and some of the demonstrators were pretty friendly with each other. So there's all sorts of levels of things that were disturbing about what happened.
One of the things I find most discomforting about the United States and society there in recent years, John, is that the militarization of the police. And given all of that, it is remarkable what we saw yesterday, wasn't it? Protesters pushing Capitol police officers aside and assuming control of one of the most important buildings in the country.
Yes, and I mean, the one building that should have been protected against any demonstrations, no matter what side those demonstrations might come from. Absolutely. And, you know, I suspect that the incoming Biden administration will have a look at all of these issues, particularly the security ones, in making sure that if there are any reverberations, and I've got some doubts about that, but if there are any serious reverberations, that the authorities can cope with them.
What do you think this says about society and about divisions in society in the United States? Like I said, it's a society you know well and you've covered in great depth for many years.
Well, it's always been a divided society, and the divisions aren't just it isn't just a single division. There's lots and lots of divisions, as indeed there are in many societies. But what's happened over the last 4 years is that those divisions have been played on for political reasons by Donald Trump. And that's a big and serious and very, very disturbing precedent. Donald Trump happens to be a pretty disorganized, fairly kind of vague figure who just does things on the spur of the moment. But supposing America throws up a political leader on the far right or perhaps on the far left who's much more aware of the needs of how to present his picture that he wants to present and can do it much more effectively, then really the dangers are quite considerable. Having said that, I feel that this will start to go away almost immediately, but we'll have to see.
Well, when you say this will go away, I assume you don't mean division. Do you mean this kind of level of outrage over the media and fake news and the outcome of elections? Or what do you mean? What will go away?
Yes, I mean, that actual issue of was the election fair?
Okay.
Was Joe Biden properly elected? I mean, I'm sure it's not going to change anybody's minds if they believe strongly enough that the elections were fixed. But nevertheless, the way that the American system operates, this compartmentalization of presidential periods, so that you have 4 years and then usually another four for a president, and then when that his term in office has always been a he, hasn't it? When that term in office is finished, then somehow or another, no matter what the issues were that were raised, they tend to drift away. I mean, I'm thinking obviously very much about George W. Bush, whose neoconservative ideas led to all sorts of ramifications in America. And I think at the time, a lot of people felt this is permanent now, this is the direction that America is going to take, but it didn't. It didn't. And George W. Bush was almost forgotten quite soon afterwards by people who were embarrassed by the war in Iraq in particular, and also the war in Afghanistan, and who didn't want to remember too much what George W. Bush had done. And I think if America is lucky, it will see a similar process of forgetfulness about Donald Trump. What happened in the Capitol yesterday was so appalling that I think it'll really besmirch his heritage for most people in America permanently. I don't think we'll see anybody talking about the good old days of Donald Trump. Not at any rate, not people that count in America.
So is it more that Donald Trump's reputation has been irrevocably damaged rather than the reputation of America abroad? Because that is what some are saying. It sounds like you're suggesting that at this point that might be hyperbole.
No, I don't think it's hyperbole. I think it's perfectly reasonable for people to be critical of the system in the United States that could allow a president that much freedom and that much control, that doesn't absolutely insist that when a president loses an election, he or hopefully she in future will raise their hands and say, okay, that's me finished, I accept it, as every president has done before Donald Trump. I don't think that's really at issue. That it America's system, America's constitutional system has let the country down quite badly. But you have to remember the countries that are most concerned to wag the finger at America are those which have a vested interest in doing so. Russia and China, in particular, Iran also. China can say to its population, you see, this is what happens if you have democracy. Look how bad it is. Look how strong we are when we don't have democracy. Russia can say, with this continuing policy of trying to undercut Western strength and the Western alliance, look what happens. They're useless. We are strong and we can survive shocks that the United States simply cannot.
And so from a geopolitical point of view, then, is that your great hope for the next 4 years, is that we get a version of America that the likes of Putin or Xi Jinping or anybody else is unable to point at and say, look at how bad things are over there?
Yes, and I'm certain that that's what Joe Biden intends to do. I think he'll be really careful not to have long-standing witch hunts. I think he'll want just simply to say that Donald Trump was yesterday's man. He's finished. We've got a new administration, a new dispensation now, and the atmosphere will be very different. I'll give you one sort of example of the way in which he's done that. He had quite a lot of reason to be really angry with Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, for the way in which Boris Johnson gave support at key moments, although not always, to the Trump administration, and the kind of things that Boris Johnson said about a variety of issues, including a border in the Irish Sea. The first expectation when Biden won his election was that he was going to make Boris Johnson pay for what he did. On the contrary, he was emollient, he was friendly. I think he rang Boris Johnson first of all the foreign leaders. And I think he's got the maturity of judgment to be able to say, look, these issues, they're finished. We're going to create a new system, and that will be much stronger than, of course, than Donald Trump's system.
If that's your hope, though, is it your expectation? Because it is remarkable. I know you say America's always been a divided society, but the level of division, like, you can go on to a mainstream news outlet today and you can talk about civil war. And while it might be an exaggeration, you don't get laughed out of the studio.
No, indeed you don't. And people have been talking about that precise issue in sometimes quite inflammatory terms. But my experience of America goes back a rather disturbingly long way. I visited it, first reported on it in 1963. And, you know, I was there for a lot of all those things that we now talk about in general terms as the 60s, those big anti-Vietnam demonstrations and so on. And at the time, I remember thinking, no society can possibly endure these stresses. It's bound to collapse. It's bound to end badly. It didn't. There's a resilience about the American system, which gives, I think, quite a lot of us hope that even a man as difficult to absorb, let's put it that way, as Donald Trump in political terms, even he can't affect the way in which the country is governed for more than a few years. And there will be change, and things will get better. I don't have very much doubt about that, actually. And I've seen it, as I say, again and again and again. Must have seen it four or five times in American history. It doesn't mean to say that everything is going to be peaceful, everybody's going to be singing Kumbaya and holding hands and and so on. It won't be like that. The divisions will still be there, but it won't bring America down in the way that I think some people are rather nervous about today.
All right. Listen, John, an absolute pleasure to speak to you. John Simpson, BBC's World Affairs Editor.